Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. It's what the Bible says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am of set down with my Father in his throne. Notice verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is Jesus talking here in verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man, it don't matter what color your skin you are, it doesn't matter where the side of the tracks you come from, it doesn't matter if you've got a big house, a small house, a medium-sized house. He says, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. Sup. You say, what's sup? That's sup. That's short for supper. He'll come in, have fellowship with you. Sup. Supper. Eat. Fellowship one with another. I'll sup with him and he with me. And then the last verse, verse 22, says, he that hath an ear. Now let me see. If you got an ear this morning, you can hear the words coming out of my mouth. Let me see your hand. All right. So this goes for everybody in this room right now. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. God, you've been so good to us. You blessed us with the rain, and we just want to say thank you. Now, God, I pray, if we've met here together like you have told us to do upon the first day of the week, we have assembled ourselves together, and Lord, we give you the honor and the glory for everything that's been done. Lord, we thank you for blessing us this week, giving us a paycheck, God. And Lord, I thank you for it, and the honor and the privilege to have health and be able to walk into this building with a Bible under our arm. God, I thank you for it. Now, you bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, I want you to take your Bible, turn two pages back this way, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And I want to look at something and try to develop a picture or a spiritual application, if I can. Revelation chapter 1, look at verse number 11. I'm breaking into context a little bit, but John on the Isle of Patmos writing the book of the Revelation, verse number 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in the book. And send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. There's seven churches right there. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and if it burned in the furnace, his voice as the sound of many waters. And it goes on to say there, and then look at verse number 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in the right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven what? All right. I'm confused. Here in Revelation chapter number 1, he's talking about seven churches. Now, I'm going to give you a spiritual application. If you want the doctrinal application, you ought to come to the Bible Institute on Tuesday night. I want you to picture something with me just for a second. I want you to picture and visualize in your mind this little handrail over here being the cross. This was about 2,000 years ago where Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. And when he rose again the third day, according to the scripture, he had the sleep of death. He woke up and Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when Jesus arose from the dead, the church, God's body, the body of Christ, was instituted. And so I want these seven churches. Now y'all got to stay with me. This is an odd Sunday morning service. Seven churches. Resurrection. The first church is the church of Ephesus. And then what's next? The church of Smyrna. Am I right? And then the church of, Pergamos. Now you see, these seven churches picture the church age for the last 2,000 years. You start out with the church of Ephesus, then the church of Smyrna, then the church of Pergamos. Then what? Thyatira. And then you got Sardis. Then you got Philadelphia. Then you got Laodicea. Now look at Revelation chapter 4. And it'll take me, I'm going somewhere, it might take me a minute to get there. Revelation 4 verse 1, after this, now wait, hold the phone. We just read 3 verse 20, Jesus, I'm standing at the door knocking. Then chapter 4, after this I looked, behold, a door was open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was, it was a trumpet talking to me saying, come up hither, and I will show thee things as much. Here's a picture. I said a picture. I said a good picture of the rapture of the church. Okay, we got the cross 2,000 years ago. We got the church at Ephesus. We got the church at Smyrna. We got the church at Thyatira. We got the church at Pergamos. We got the church of Sardis. We got the church of Philadelphia. We got the church of Laodicea. And then, behold, I look, and a voice like a trumpet said, come up hither. And the church is not seen anymore in the book of the Revelation. We're going up on the come up hither. But now, hold on a minute. Hang on a second. We read over here, before the church of Ephesus, in chapter 1, Jesus said, or John said, I saw seven churches. And you know who was walking up in the midst of the seven churches? I'm talking about right smack dab. Does anybody know what smack dab means? Right smack dab in the middle of the churches. I mean, he's a walking in the midst of. Listen, folks, the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. It's mine. I understand this is not, sometimes we refer to this as the house of God. I understand. The house of God is here, okay? We got it. I understand all of that. The church, which is his body, he said, it's mine. And I'm walking up in the midst of it. But now, wait a minute. Chapter 3, verse 20. I'm over here at the last church. It's called the church of Laodicea. Jesus said, I'm standing outside trying to get back in. Now, wait a minute. It's his church. It belongs to him. He starts out in the middle. He winds up outside trying to get back in. Here's the question this morning. Real simple. I just got a few thoughts jotted down. But how in the world do you get kicked out of your own house? How in the world do you start out in the middle and wind up at the last thing? This is my house. Would y'all let me in? Now see, a lot of times we use this verse to lead somebody to the Lord. Jesus standing at the heart, your heart door, knocking. And we'll use that at the lad right before the invitation. We'll use that. Hey, maybe the Lord's knocking on your heart and you want to open. But folks, he's talking to churches. He starts out at the front and he's in the midst. Jesus Christ, this is His church. The body of Christ is His church. It started with Him. He said, I'm the rock. I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the church is supposed to lift up Him. The seven golden candlesticks is a light. It's like candles. Candles that are lighting up and showing. You know what Holy Hills Baptist Church is supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be showing forth, pointing people to Jesus. Have you ever noticed that a candle, the fire on the end of that candle always burns toward heaven? You turn the candle sideways, the candle thing will turn sideways, start burning toward the... You turn the candle upside down, and that fire will turn to work his way up toward this way. The church, seven golden candlesticks. It doesn't matter if your world is turned upside down. It doesn't matter if you're turned sideways. We're supposed to be pointing up, pointing people. There he is. That's Jesus. This is what this thing is all about. He's supposed to be walking up in the midst of the churches. But as you notice, we start out with Ephesus. Then you go on to, you know, the first part of the early church, you know, later on, that's back in the book of Acts. Then the next church, then the next one. Then you'll find the church of Philadelphia. The Philadelphia church represents the age about 1500 to 1900. That's the age of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. We ain't got time for this. But you'd be surprised to know that this, about in this time frame, is when our forefathers come over here to Philadelphia. And then you say, preacher, what church are we living in? We're living over here in the last church, Laodicea. The last church before Revelation 4 takes place. Now here's my message for this morning. I don't know, just for a few minutes. He starts out walking in chapter 1 in the center, in the midst of the seven churches. By the time this thing winds up, he's outside. Would y'all let me back in?
Amen.
Would y'all let me back in? Notice Revelation chapter 2. Look, Revelation chapter 2. Church at Ephesus, the first church. Verse 1, chapter 2. The angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, how thou cannot bear them which are evil. Boy, it's a good church. Boy, they didn't like evil. They didn't put up with sin. They preached against sin. They preached against alcohol. They preached against homosexuality. They preached against the drugs. They preached against everything that was evil. You wouldn't find these people in Ephesus. I mean, they wouldn't put up with some of the stuff we put up with today. Hey, let me pause for a minute. Put your finger right there on that verse. We'll be right back. We're living in the Laodicean age right here. People in this age, there were lost people in the church of Ephesus that wouldn't do what saved people do here. Hallelujah. We're doing stuff. Saved people are doing stuff in this age that lost people wouldn't do back at the church of Ephesus. You wouldn't dare think about doing some of the stuff they do in church now. Lost people. You know what? There was a day that criminals wouldn't. You could leave the church doors open. You wouldn't. They wouldn't. Hey, they'd be scared to come in here and steal something. They scared. I ain't going in there. What? Lost people don't know God. church. No, we can't break into a church. Why don't we break into a church? Now, over here, it's second nature. Whatever door's open, go in it, break in, steal something. Lost people back there wouldn't do some of the stuff we do today. Now, back here, Ephesus. I know thy works, verse 2. Thy labor, thy patience, how thou cannot bear them which are evil. How thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not. And hast found them liars. Man, they were bringing, liars in front of the church.
Yeah.
You lied. Boy, wouldn't it be good if we did that today? I'd love it. You said what to who? Oh, preacher, I didn't say that. Well, they're standing right there. They said you said it. They said you said it. Whoa. That's the way you got to do it. Get them all in the room. Now, you said this. That's what they was doing. They didn't put up with a lot of stuff churches put up with today. That ain't even where I'm wanting to go. But it's good preaching. I got to hurry up. Verse 4, nevertheless, here's the first step in kicking God out of his own house. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. First step in kicking God out of his own house is the church of Ephesus left. Hey, you say, preacher, what does that mean? That means they're saved but forgot how it was to be lost. They forgot the God that saved them. They're on their way to heaven, but they forgot to worship the one that did the saving. Heard the old story. My dad used to tell this one all the time. It's a real funny story. You heard about the old couple. Old pickup truck. Old man sitting here. He's a driving. He looks over at his wife. She's piled up against the passenger door way over there on the other side. He looks over there and says, honey, you remember the day I was riding in this old pickup and we was a dating? And you was just about in my lap. She said, yeah, Homer. What happened? He said, I'm sitting where I've always sat. Now, wait. If Jesus is on the outside, hey, Jesus says, wait a minute. I'm sitting here where I've always. If you moved, you done the moving. I'm the same God, same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the one that never changes. I'll save your soul. I'm still in the driver's seat. Everything's under control. Why do you look like you're trying to get out the passenger door? Get back over here in his lap. Get real close to him. We want him in the midst and not on the outside knocking, trying to get into his own house. The first step is forgetting who loved you. Forgetting and losing your first love. I'm talking about forgetting. I have left thy first love. Boy, I remember. Man, y'all know what I'm talking about. You start dating, and son, you're over to her house all the time. Not, hey, let's go somewhere. Let's go get some ice cream. Let's do this. Here we go. Y'all with me? Some of y'all done forgot that too. I'm talking about you could. I mean, there all the time. And if you wasn't over there, you was on the phone with them. Just sitting there listening to each other breathe. Fall asleep. No, you hang up first. No, I'm not going to hang up first. You hang up first. I'll never let you go. Come on now. Y'all with me? Some of them older folks, boy, they're getting a spark in their eye now. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not hanging up. You hang up first. And we do all that lovey-dovey stuff. But I'm talking about, listen, you'll come in, you're dating that girl, you'll come in, sit on that couch, and you'll wait 30, 40 minutes till she gets dressed. They get married, you wait about 25 years. Hurry up! Come on! We're going to be late. You always make us late. I'm going to be in the car waiting on you. Now, when you was a-dating, you'd have waited 45 minutes for her to get ready. Now, ladies, some of y'all ought to be shouting the victory. I'm on your side this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm talking about, son, they'll get out to the car, the man. I'm talking about, here he go. We're going to be late for church. We got a Sunday school class. We got to be there on time. Amen. Son, ain't halfway down, about two blocks down the road. She said, would you please stop? Let me get my other leg in. Now, all of that's funny. And I want it to be funny. But let's get down where we really live. When we first got saved, son, we couldn't read enough Bible. We couldn't talk to him enough. Oh, Lord, I need you to pray. I need you to save my so-and-so. Save my brother. Save my daughter. Save my whatever, my grandma. Save so-and-so. Save uncle so-and-so. Boy, you just kept on talking to him. I mean, you always wanted to talk to him. Son, you couldn't get enough. Man, you'd read that Bible from cover to cover and read all the way plumb to the maps, and you done learned all the maps. You couldn't get enough. Amen. Yeah. And over time, we stopped talking to him. Stopped reading his word. We done got involved in a lot of other things, a lot of activities. And now we treat the Lord like some of us men treat our wives after 25 years of marriage. That's how Jesus wound up, started out in the center, and wound up on the outside trying to get back in his own house. Would y'all let me back in? Won't you let me back in? I mean, I started out in the center of it. I know a lot of preachers, a lot of churches. I don't have anybody in mind, but a lot of churches. Even some of those, I honestly, don't criticize me after church, but I think a lot of them, some of them programs on the Christian television, I think them folks, I think they honestly had a good intention when they started it. The Lord was in the center of it. We may not agree on everything darkly they were doing, but I guarantee you, they intended for the Lord to be in the center of everything they were doing. Slowly out of time, over time, the Lord done got out of it. And now we hear them blasted on the television. Hey, folks, I don't want the Lord knocking trying to get in. We need to get back to where Jesus is in the center. Can I say this, folks? I ain't even got to the outline yet. Y'all pray for me. Jesus. Hey, I'd like to get back in that school. I used to be in there. I remember when the school teacher, boy, she'd start out reading the Bible, praying with them students. If anybody was offended, they were welcome to leave and go out in the hallway for a few minutes. Boy, I remember the day when I was in the school. We didn't have all that stuff going on and all the killings and all the shootings and all the people coming in. I remember when the Ten Commandments was hanging in the foyer. Oh, I remember. Oh, I'd love to be back in there. What about your home? What about your home? Some of you got a good wife, good husband, good kids, good family, good home to live in. And boy, it started out real good. And boy, God was in the center of that thing. And over time, we stopped having our family devotion. We stopped reading our Bible. We stopped praying. We stopped doing this and stopped doing that. And Jesus finally winds up on the outside of your home going, I want back in there. I remember the sweet fellowship we used to have in your home. And that home was bound together with the scriptures and with prayer and supplication. And boy, we had sweet fellowship. But now I'm trying to get back in.
Yeah.
I'd like to be in the center. In the center of your home. That's what he says. What about the church? I know a lot of churches. I hope and pray. God, listen, we've had some sweet fellowship at some of our services. All services are not the same, but sometime, boy, the Lord will slip through. He'll come walking in the back door. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now he's on the outside. We've done got it organized. We have to do this, this, and this, and this. We have to hear this, this, and this. We got this committee, this, this, and this. We got to hear this report, this, this, and this. God is out there going, y'all got room for me this morning? Can y'all just set aside all that tradition stuff and just, I'd like to come back in there like we used to and have some good, sweet services again. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open unto me and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Yeah.
Say, preacher, what was your outline? I'll give it to you real quick. It's found in 3:20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, it's going to take somebody that's listening. It's going to take somebody that's listening. We talk to our kids, my kids, same, but my kids no different than anybody else. As you talk to them, sometime they'll be playing Nintendos and whatever else. Say, hey, go take the garbage out. Okay. Hey, I need you to go take the garbage out. Okay. They're listening, but they're not hearing what the Spirit saith. Sometimes you have to go in there with a belt. What? Oh yeah, I heard you. Sometime God wants our attention. He says, I just want you to listen. John 10 says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger they will not follow. I just can't understand how Jesus starts out in the midst and winds up on the outside knocking, trying to get into his own place. What in the world kicked him out? Well, I'll tell you, it was people that wasn't listening. People that wasn't listening. And it's people that, let me get to the second point. It was people that, it's going to take somebody hearing. It's going to take somebody with some humility.
Yeah.
And it's going to take somebody with hunger.
Amen. Yeah.
Hunger. Boy, are you ever get hungry. Just a hunger to see God move.
Yeah.
A hunger. I think one of the verses says, talking about as the heart panteth. Here it is. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God of heaven.
Amen.
Your soul ever got hungry and thirsty for righteousness, thirsty to see God move again, see God move like he did in the old revival days of Billy Sunday. D.L. Moody, yes, he can do it again. Yes, he can do it at this church. But it's going to take somebody to open the door and let him back in his own house. It'll take somebody that'll have to listen, somebody that'll have to hear, somebody that gets a hunger for an almighty God. I remember Mary, John 20, she had a hunger. She said, I just want to see him. She went down to the tomb looking for him. Had a hunger for God. Do you come down to this church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Are you looking for him? Are you looking for him to show up? Well, we're going to go down, we're going to sing a song. Brother Jeremy, we're going to tell a joke or two. And then we're going to do this. We're going to get, hopefully, we'll get out by 12. And we'll get down there to eat. And we'll, you know, and then we'll get in. We'll go home Sunday afternoon, do a little mechanic work. put a rear end in recliner. Hallelujah. That woke some of you up. When are we going to get hungry? Hungry!
Amen.
See God move again. Oh, I'm telling you, and I can't preach that loud line. I feel God on what I just come up with off the top of my head.
Amen.
I remember that service when them young people got up here.
Yeah.
And started just singing. I'm blessed. Just singing. People start coming to altar. They didn't have no preaching yet. We wasn't singing "Just As I Am." We wasn't trying to work nothing up. I was sitting right over there just minding my own business. Here people start coming to altar. Sweet. And the Lord just come on in the back door.
Yeah.
And people let Him work. People let Him move. And somebody opened the door for Him at night.
Yeah.
He can't come in unless you let Him in. He's not going to force His way in.
Amen.
He said, "Hey, won't you somebody, open the door. Let Him come back in." I heard about an old revivalist. I'm going to tell this story probably and quit. But I heard an old revivalist. He went to this church. He's a preaching. And he was sitting on the first night of revival. He's a guest evangelist. He was sitting on the platform, you know, like they normally do. And while he was sitting there, he just thumbing through his Bible, getting his thoughts together about his outline. That's what you normally do. Get your thoughts, get everything, your frame of mind. And all of a sudden, here's what he said. It's back in the old days. He said this. He said, "Lord just spoke to me." He said, "Brother so-and-so, what are you doing in that church? I've been trying to get in that church for years. I ain't never gotten that church. I ain't never been there. What are you doing there?" He said, "I couldn't preach that out." He said, "I got up, preached the first night of revival. Preacher announced me to come up. He come up. He started going through the motions." He said, this ain't working. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, as far as I'm concerned, revival's over. I'm leaving. The Lord just told me He ain't never been here. What was I doing here? So, if you know what's good for you, let's all get out of here." So he said, "Bow your heads, be dismissed." Son, everybody left. It was about 20 years later that preacher was preaching a revival in the same area. And there was a church that done grown to about 1,500 people. And he was down at the store getting him some whatever, this, that, and the other. They run it. And this fellow said, "Hey, Brother so-and-so, you don't remember me." He said, "But about 15 years ago, you preached a revival or tried to preach a revival at our church." He said, "I was one of the leaders there in that church." And he said, "I know you got up and said God ain't never been in that church. And you, what was you doing? You, what business you have in there? So if we knew what all good for us, we'd all leave." He said, "I was a leader in that church." He said, "There was a bunch of us in there. Son, we was living, I'm talking about, we was living one way on Sunday and another way on Monday through Saturday." He said, "We was a swapping wives with folks in the church. We wasn't living right. We was a drinking and doing everything else. Everything we was a big enough to do. We was coming down to the church and trying to put on a good front." He said, "About 100 of us, after you left, about 100 of us got saved." And he said, "We started this church. We run it about 1,500 now." And he said, "The Lord's been in the midst since day one, and He's still there. Why don't you come preach a revival for us?" He said, "I'll be glad to." Somebody just needs to open a door. Let Him back in His own house. It's what Jesus said, "I'm done. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man in Holy Hills Baptist Church, man, woman, boy, or girl, will open my door, hear my voice, and open my door, I'll come in, and it'll be life-changing for you." Life-changing for you. Mark, won't you come? Blake, get us on a suitable number of invitation. Hey, those of you sitting in here, lost. Never, don't know Christ. Jesus is knocking at your heart's door. He says, won't you let me in? I'd like to come in. Hey, folks, say, preacher, I'm saved. How about is the Lord in the center of your home? Is He in the center of our church? Is He in the center of your life? Or is He outside knocking, trying to get in? We've done kicked Him out of school. We've kicked Him out of the manger. We've kicked Him out of every aspect of our lives. And we're living in the Laodicean age. Just before the door opens and we get caught up out of here. He starts out in the midst. He ends up on the outside. Where are you in your Christian life? Those of you that are not saved, they're not Christians. He wants you to let Him in. Heavenly Father,